Accession number 27796, Mr. Harry Irons, Reel 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Irons?
I was born in 38, Lofting, L-O-F-T-I-N-G, Road, Islington.
And what was your date of birth?
12/1/24.
And could you tell us a little bit about your family background?
There was the father had been married before, and I had two twin brothers, Fred and Elf, and I took two stepsisters. That's about it.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was a dustman. He worked on the borough council, collecting dust or dirt. I used to call them dustmen in them days.
And was it a comfortable upbringing? Comfortably enough. I mean, what do you remember about your childhood?
Not really. Pretty tough. Pretty tough. He was a drinker, the old man, and there you are, everybody went short.
And did your mother work?
No, she never worked. No.
And what about your education? Tell us about that.
Very poor, just elementary.
To 14, you mean?
Till I was 14, yes.
And were there any subjects you liked or were good at?
Not really, only swimming. There's nothing outstanding at all.
No particular subject you liked or disliked?
Not really, no, no.
And what about outside of school? What were your interests outside school?
As far as I can remember, from the age of 10, I used to go and do part-time work in a tailoring workshop, pulling out bastings and lighting the irons up with the first thing of the morning and sweeping the workshop of the night time. I think I was about 10. I used to get about 2 bob a week, I think, 2 shillings a week.
And what was that? What sort of workshop was it?
A tailoring workshop. That's why I've been in all my life, tailoring.
And you started as soon as you left school?
Yeah, I went into tailoring as an apprentice at the age of 14. Well, I was 13, actually, when I left school.
And tell us a bit about, your work there, because, we're quite interested in the sort of...
Well, I started off just pulling out white cottons out of jackets. We used to soap the seams. Your seam, we used to soap them so you could press them, and the soap used to stick hard and the seam stayed open. That's how I started, anyway, pulling basins out and soaping. And now and again, I used to thread all the needles up for the tailors, because I was young, I suppose I had good eyes, and make the tea in general.
And how did it progress? What skills did you add year on year?
I got up to the stage of what they call basting now. That was when the garment was sewn up, because it was all done by hand in those days. I used to have to baste the edges of the lapels, and that's how I finished. I was about 15 and a half to 16, that's what I was doing. And the money was 60 pence a week.
So not much.
No, that's what I got.
Did you enjoy it?
Well, not really, no. It was a bit boring, because you, in those days when you was kids, you were a kid, And they sometimes give you a clip round here, That's how it was in those days. And life was hard indoors anyway. The old man was always drunk, and that was round. I was glad, to get away from it all.
Were you in any of the boys' organisations, Boy Scouts or anything?
No, not really. No. What I was mostly keen on is trying to get a few shillings to survive, because I never got no money from indoors, so I had to earn as much as I could outside.
It's a pretty hard life.
It was a hard life for most people in those days. Yeah.
Now, what about you were working as apprentice tailor when the war started, were you?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Now, what about the outbreak of war? Do you remember the day war broke out?
Oh, I remember it. Tell
us about it.
Well, actually, we was living at Stamford Hill at the time.
So you went from Islington to Stamford Hill?
That's right. We moved into some council flats there. And I remember the war breaking out, because they had the first time I'd heard the sirens. That was on the morning the war was declared. There was a false alarm. And then after that, everybody just gone on with it, and there was a lot of food hoarding, a lot of people buying.
Hang on, did you on the day war, did you actually hear the broadcast?
Oh, yes, definitely, yeah.
And what did you think? I mean, you, how old were you? You'd be 15.
15, yeah.
15 now. Yeah. Did you think it would involve you?
Well, I used to listen to what my father told, because he was a regular in the British Army in the 1914 war. And he used to tell me all the stories, but I never expected it to last that long. Well, nobody did, not in those days. They thought it would be over in a few weeks.
Now, what about, you mentioned, well, food rationing. What was this about food food hoarding? Tell us about rationing, food rationing and hoarding.
Well, when the war first started, it didn't seem to affect people a lot, but a lot of people were storing up tin food. The people who had a few of them, they was definitely storing up food, you know, for bad times, which did come eventually.
Now, what about air raid precautions? I mean, did you have a shelter in your flat?
Well, what we done, all the families in the block of flats went into where the gardens were, and we dug shelters.
What type of shelters?
Just an ordinary slit trenches, about 6 foot deep. And you can imagine, people had never been used to digging. They was out there digging these holes in the ground, and a lot of them just caved in after they had no support, and all of them was just dug huge holes in the ground for air raid shelters. That was the start, anyway.
And did you ever use them?
No.
Because there was no bombing in the first, you know, no, first.
And they got waterlogged anyway. After a while, they got waterlogged.
So did you get any other air raid shelters?
Yeah,
built?
And then the council built permanent shelters.
Now, can you describe them?
Yeah, actually, they were, double brick. That would be about 18 inches thick, about 10 foot high, flat roof, concrete roof, about foot concrete. The most amazing thing was it only had one entrance. And afterwards, my experience of bombing, I realised it was really useless. Because if a bomb had dropped on them or nearby, the concussion itself would have killed everybody in them. And that's what they built. They built these huge brick buildings for people to go
in. And how big were the inside? I mean, how many could get in?
That's about as wide as this.
So about, 13 feet?
Yeah, and about 40 foot long. And just cut the steps down and a big wooden door at the end.
And how many would go in there?
Well, it'd be the whole block, I should imagine about. Well, I should imagine about. Well, the whole block, about 70 or 80 people. There was no toilet facilities in there whatsoever. But people did use them in the beginning of the war.
Any seats or beds or anything in there at all?
No, you used to take your own stuff down.
What would your family take in?
Well, we lived on the ground floor. And my father said, there's no need to go in the shelter because we've got plenty of flats above us, which was really stupid. But a lot of them did go in there every night.
And did you ever go in? I'm just wondering what it was like in there.
Yeah, we went in there a couple of times because people were different in those days. It was more friendly, you know, with it. Everybody knew each other, you know. And but they weren't very, very hygienic because... There was no ventilation, there was no heating, there was just only sort of a blockhouse, you know.
They're not very pleasant in there.
No.
Now, what about the blackout? How did your family do the blackout for your ground floor windows?
Yeah, there was a black, you could buy a black cotton curtain. Well, I was in the tailoring trade, and of course I went and took them up the shop, up where I was working, and they had the blackout curtains. It was only black. Only black cotton sheets, and they used to pick them up at night time. And nobody hired you if you let light shine of a night time, because you had the AAP wardens out. They used to scream and bang on your door, because there was no air raids then. Nobody knew what was going to go on. Nobody knew.
Now, for the first year, anything much happened? Were you just working as an apprentice? Anything happened? It's a phony war, isn't it?
Yeah, nothing happened at all, really. Nothing at all. We knew all the young boys of 18 were being called up, and my brother, I had an elder brother actually, he was a stepbrother, he got called up when he was 18, he went in the Berkshire Regiment, and he went to France, and that's about it. But all the youngsters round where we lived, when it was 18, they was all called up, and because they all went. But things got funny enough, things got better when the war started. The amazing thing was, things got easier. It seems strange, but things got easier. There seemed to be more food about, and money was a bit more easy to get hold of.
So, do you what about the bombing starting?
The bombing never started till, let's see, 39. It started in 40.
September 40.
Yeah, we see it plainly because we lived at Stamford Hill and we could see all the air battles going, because it was all coming up the Thames, up the estuary, and you could see them plain. We could see the Spitfires, the Hurricanes fighting the bombers over London. And everybody, and the funny thing was, everybody was standing in the street watching it.
Was this the air attacks?
Yeah, the air attacks.
Sorry, the
worst one was. Pardon?
Were these the daytime ones?
Daytime ones, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, and people sat in the street just watching them. And we used to go over the Lee and of a Saturday, you could see the fight, you see the bombers just droning in, and the fighters attacking them.
And what about when it switched to night time?
That's terror. That is terror. Because I know the both sides. But I knew I received it and I gave it, so I know exactly what went on. It was indiscriminate. If the flak got too heavy in London, they used to drop the bombs on the suburbs. As easy as that. And they couldn't miss really the size of London.
Now tell us about the air raids as you saw them. What did you see of them? How much was there in Stamford Hill?
There wasn't so much in Stamford Hill because we were more or less on the suburbs. It was more over east, on the eastern London. But you could see it all. You could see the huge fires. You could hear the huge bombs. Occasionally we got a load of incendiaries dropping on us from the planes who see the flak and they got a bit faint-hearted and they should drop their stuff before they really reach London. So all we really got was a scattering bomb, but you could see it all, and there was a tremendous amount of, after a few months, tremendous amount of ACAC. They had the guns everywhere, in every park, every open space, there was guns, and when they went off, that was terrifying, especially for old people. And that's the way it went on to...
Do you have any close escapes at all?
Not really. With a few bombs that did drop, there was near misses. With a few incendiaries dropped on the roof of the flats, but the warden soon cut them out. Stopped them. But the most damage was on the east. It was obvious because I know now because all they'd done was follow the Thames up, and when they knew how far they're up the Thames, they're going to just let them go.
Now, what about, were you doing any in anything like the ARP or territorials or cadets?
No,
or
nothing.
Did you join anything at all?
No. I was still only young enough, 15. No, I wasn't doing anything, no. They had plenty of people on the ARP because the simple reason was, excuse me, voice, I'm a bit sore in the throat, it's true. The simple reason was there'd been so much unemployment before the war, and when the ARP started, it was a godsend for a lot of them. They found themselves without jobs.
So, what happened next then? What's the next thing you remember?
It was going on something. Of course, tailoring just fell apart. Nobody was buying suits because those were all being called up. And the huge manufacturers, they were switching over to khaki and hospital wear and anything else to do with the army. But the small actual tailor, he was finished for the time being. Those are private tailors, you know, the make-to-measure tailors.
So what happened to your firm? Did it go
bust? Just went bust, and I was in limbo for, about 15 and a half, getting up for 16. So I just took any little job I could in the tailoring, so I decided that I was going to get called up. And that was, I went up to Duke Street, in King's Cross when I was about 16 and a half. I said I wanted to join the Air Force, I want to be a flyer, you know, with kids are. They slung me out, they said come back in 2 years' time. Anyway, I left it for a couple of months because I wasn't very happy indoors anyway. I left it a couple of months, I went back, I put a trilby hat on, I made out I was 18 and I called myself Galloway. That was my mother's first marriage name.
So you were Harry Galloway?
I was Harry Galloway at the time, yeah. In fact, I was Harry Galloway for quite a while, but they never told me that that I was out of wedlock because my father's name was Irons. Anyway, I was called up when I was
now,
just.
What happened when you, so you went to the recruiting office, and what did they, you know, what happened when you turned up, you're Harry Galloway, what did they do?
They asked me how old I was. I told them I was 17 and a half. I mean, they must have looked at me twice because I was such a baby looking, you know. And they said, all right, wait for your papers. And I was still 16 at the time. I received my papers to go and to Cardigan, RF
now,
Cardigan.
When were you called up then?
In 1940, December 1940.
Which is way too early.
Yeah, I was 16 then, yeah.
Why the RAF? Why did you, had you actually volunteered underage for the RAF?
RAF, yeah.
And why the RAF? Why not the Army? Or
well, I didn't fancy the Army, to be honest with you. I thought of flying, you know. I didn't know a lot, I didn't know about anything really, but I think a few of the friends around, well, were, they all wanted to join the Air Force, and that was it.
So, what in December 1940, where'd you go to?
Cardigan.
Cardigan,
yeah. There's nothing, that's only all the flying in there.
You love what you mean, yeah. So, whereabouts in Cardigan?
There's a big Air Force base in Cardigan.
It's just called Cardigan.
Cardigan, yeah.
And do you know what unit you were joining within it? Or,
I mean, yeah, I was just joined. That was air crew. They just took you as air crew.
No, I meant the Cardigan. Was it a?
It was a recruitment. It was a, actually, if you can remember, I don't know. Well, you won't remember. Cardigan was the base.
You mean Cardington? The
that's
base.
Right. Yeah.
Now, what happened there? You were arriving. What were they doing there to you at the reception?
Well, they gave us they kicked us out for uniform, shirt, tie, tunic, trousers, boots, and we had injections, vaccination. Now I don't know what the other injections.
What effect did the vaccination have on?
Terrible. It used to come up with a huge red scab. I've never seen the one, and never knew it was like that actually, because today is not different, but then it used to come up with a great huge red scab. Very, very painful.
And what about you were being sorted into trades, were you? How was that done?
Well, you they knew you knew what trade you was going in for when you enlisted. So all the air crew was all put on one section, and then the ground crew were on another section, and that's only the catering sections, you know. And that was it.
Now that was just for, this is in December, so
that's the initial being called up.
So what happened then? You were there about a week, so it's still December, I presume.
Yeah. And then they sent us all up for square bashing to Bridgnorth on the borders of Wales.
Now, do you know the name of that unit, or was it just Bridgnorth?
Just Bridgnorth.
RAF Bridgnorth. Mm-hmm. Now, how were you treated there when you first got there? Because you're arriving a fairly new, you know.
Yeah, they a load of shouting and yelling, you know. They didn't mess about in those days. They had the corporals out there, and they used to yell. Well, we knew nothing. And that's where we stayed there for 6 weeks, what they call square bashing.
Now, tell them, how did you take to drill?
Well, I think most of us took to it all right. Our feet got a bit sore with the great big boots we had on, but we done it all right.
Did you see the point of it at the time?
Well, yeah, really. Now there's discipline, and that is the first thing, how they break you in, when you can say yes or no, sir, to the officers. That's what it's all about, obeying orders.
And what else are you doing? Drill. What else are you doing there?
Nothing else, just drill.
No weapons training.
Oh, yeah, rifle. Yeah, we fired a few rounds on a rifle range.
How do you do at that?
Well, I suppose medium. Well, I think I was a pretty good shot actually, but we just done about 30 or 40 rounds, you know, with the Enfield rifle.
Now, anything else?
Nothing really, no.
How did you get on with the rest of the lads?
Fine. They was all from London. They was all Cockneys, all from London. Strange enough, they was all from London.
And were they from the same sort of background as yourself?
More
or
less.
Mixed or?
No, more or less all from the East. They was either tailors, cabinet makers, and that was the two trades in the East End. And nearly everybody was either a tailor or a cabinet maker. That was the trades in the East End. That was it. That was the environment.
And was it? Did you get on well? Any special? Any good pals or special pals?
No, we. Funny enough, one of them. Because I don't want to go too far ahead with the flying, you see. But one of them, I knew very. I got called up with him, and he unfortunately got killed by Messerschmitt. But he was my friend.
So he was there with you.
Yeah, and he joined up with me, and he went right the way through till we reached the 9 Squadron.
Did you make any other good pals that you hadn't joined up? You know, sort of people you hadn't known before.
Oh yeah, it was quite a few. We was all in it together. And we had no money. I mean, so what was we getting there? Two bob a day, I think. So you couldn't do much with it anyway.
And so no bullying?
No, there was no bullying. No. You looked after yourself in those days. No, I never come across any bullying.
Now, what about the instructors? What were they like?
They were bullies.
In what way?
Well, they were bullies in the sense that they wanted discipline. Don't forget, I was getting hold of a load of people from the East End, more or less. And you know what they are in there? They like to say what they want to, but the instructors made sure that you said what they wanted you to do. And it worked. It definitely works. The discipline, the marching, it definitely works.
And what about the conditions of service? What were they like? You know, you're a living accommodation. What was your...
Well, there's about 30 of us in a block, in a wooden block. We all had a steel bed with three, we used to call them biscuits. There were three thick mattresses, what they used to lay down with your blankets on top. There were no sheets, just the blankets. And you had to make them up every morning. And you had to make them up perfect. And before you go out for breakfast, they were down those beds. All your bed spaces had to be... We had brown lino on the floor, and they had to polish that so you could see your face in it. They used to take a few hours as well.
Did you have to prepare for kitten room inspection?
Oh, yeah.
What was that like? I mean, how fussy were they?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty rigid. And we used to get FFI.
Breeding from infection.
That's right, we used to get that cut.
PD inspections.
Yeah, that's right, you drop your trousers. It's sometimes embarrassing when you've got a lady doctor doing it. But yeah. Nobody ever went out, so there was not much fear of that, anybody catching it anyway.
Did they lecture about the risk of it all?
Oh yeah, we had a few lectures on it, yeah.
And anything else you were doing there?
Nothing really, just after all the marching and crashing about, you was glad to get have your grub and go to bed, you know.
And that was from December through to?
Right to about January, about the end of February.
41?
Yeah.
And where did you go then? What was your next
from
one?
There? We wondered what's going to happen to us because we'd all volunteer for air crew. So all those that volunteer air crew, we were sent to a brand new drone in Cambridge called Water Beach. It was a brand that just finished. Actually, it was one of the new airfields I was building prior to the war, and they're just finishing it off. And they sent us up there. It was only more or less a staging post.
And what happened? We
was only just ordinary dog spotters. They gave us jobs like in the cookhouse, sweeping the roads, anything manual, nothing skillful at all.
And that was just...
They were just waiting, really. Just waiting to go on your aircrew courses.
And so how long were you there for?
I was there till August.
So about 6 months.
Yeah, about 6 months we were there. And then we went on the air gunnery wireless operator course.